I am very thankful that I have been asked to be your speaker this afternoon. I've started getting in the habit of letting someone at the congregation that I'm going to be attending know I'm going to be there, and also let people at home know, well, I'm not going to be there. And I think it's just a common courtesy on both. Back in November, the last time I was asked to speak, I gave a lesson concerning Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah. And I thought that on those occasions when I was in town and was asked, and very kindly asked, to be a speaker, that I would give lessons focused on women in the Bible. That's something that I haven't taught in other places, and I find it interesting and compelling. And the one that came to my mind I wanted to do next was the Samaritan woman at the well. Now, at the time I decided I was going to teach that on my next opportunity, I had no clue whatsoever that y'all were going to be studying the book of John, and then 2 weeks ago that this would be the lesson that somebody gave. And I think, if I would have been told correctly, Brother Paul gave this lesson 2 weeks ago. And I hope. Matter of fact, I am as nervous giving this lesson today as I have been since I've been a teenager. Because I don't know what he said. And I don't want to say anything that would contradict him in any way. And I definitely don't want to try to upstage him. But I hope that there are some things that I see in this passage that would be just a little bit different than the way he sees it. Now, most people, when they approach this particular scripture, this particular passage, they approach it from Jesus' standpoint, from Jesus' position. What was it Jesus was trying to accomplish? Well, as I was studying and looking at it, I was studying it from the focus, what was the woman going through? What was she experiencing? What is her reaction? How does she do things? So, when I'm looking at it, I hope, I'm looking at it just a little bit different perspective, and I hope we look at it from her perspective and not necessarily from Jesus' perspective. Now, because of this, the passage I want to read to introduce my thoughts, because I think a lot of what is said in this passage hinges on this particular passage of Scripture, is I want to read from John 4, and I want to read verses 34 to 38. And when I decided on this, I had it marked, and lo and behold, one of the songs that were led fits right into the passage I want to read. We need to be sowers for the kingdom. There's a harvest coming. There'll be time for reaping. And that's what this passage deals with. In John 4 and verse 34, Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye that ye are 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And ye that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestoweth no labor. Other men labor, and ye are entered into their labors." Now, as is the custom in education today, we are instructed that we need to have in mind the things that the student has to leave with when they walk out of our classroom. And there's usually a question, a particular question, that I try to address among my students. And I put that on a board so that my students see it. Matter of fact, I have them write it down at the beginning of the class. And if an administrator comes in, they say, yeah, okay, that's what he wants them to know when they leave. Well, I've got a series of questions that I hope as our lesson continues, we will answer these questions. And these questions will help guide us into what we need to be thinking about, what we need to know, what I hope you know when we leave. Number one, what did Jesus need when he was in Samaria in this town? Number two, when is the sixth hour of the day? Number three, what time of the year did this happen? Four, how much water can a woman carry? And how big a bucket did she need to carry it in? Five, what was Andrew's first response to Christ? Number six, what was Peter, James, and John's response to Christ when he said, come follow me? Number seven, when does the attention of the text change from Christ to the woman? Number eight, what does the woman do in response to what she learns from Jesus? Number nine, what's the town's response? And last, who do you think were the first converts in Samaria when the gospel is preached there? Now, having that backstory and that text and these questions, let's pause for a moment. And let's take time to go to the Father in a word of prayer. If you would please open yourself in some reverent fashion as we pray. It's a story. It is told of a servant who was instructed to go get water for the master. And he had two buckets, and he carried these two buckets on a yoke. Well, one of them was cracked. It was broken. And he'd go to the river, to the water source every day, and he would fill both his buckets up. And he'd come home. And one of the buckets would leak. And he had planted flowers along the side of the path leading up to the house. And somebody said, you know, you're wasting your water. You're wasting all of that work. You see, if you replace that bucket with something that would hold water better, you'd get more water up to the house. And he said, yeah. But then I'd have to come water the flowers. God has a way of using broken buckets to his glory. I think this woman at the well was one that many people would have considered an inferior vessel. A broken bucket, if you please. There were so many things wrong with this woman. But when we get to the end, we're going to see that this broken bucket accomplished a whole lot more than many people give her credit for. In John 4 and 1, as we begin this story, it there says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. So he had been in Jerusalem. Now the purpose that he was in Jerusalem was for the Feast of Passover. So Passover had happened, and that is when he drove out the money changers with the whip, and he had his conversation with Nicodemus, and he had stayed there for a while, and he realized that the Pharisees didn't want him around. So he got his disciples together, and he said, all right, we need to go to Galilee. Let's go back home. Jews did not go through Samaria. You see, what they would have to do, what they would usually do, is on their way from Jerusalem to Galilee, they crossed to the east side of the Jordan River, and they would go up on the east side of the Jordan River, and then, okay, that's my east, that's your west. East side of the Jordan River, and they would get up there, and then they'd cross back over into Galilee, because the Jews didn't have anything to do with the Samaritans. If you remember the story of the Good Samaritan, the reason Jesus taught it is because first you had this scribe who came through, this priest who came through, this Levite, these people of the court came through. All these were good, upstanding people in the eyes of the Jews, but they didn't help their neighbor. But this vile and despicable, hideous Samaritan stopped and helped an injured man. This evil, horrible, vile, and disgusting Samaritan helped his neighbor. Jews had nothing to do with Samaritans. They did not like the Samaritans because Samaritans were basically half Jewish. You see, they'd intermarried with the other nations that were around, so they weren't pure-blooded Jew. They weren't Hebrew. They was half Hebrew. And they were far more vile and disgusting than even the Gentiles were. But on the way, verse 4 happens, and he must needs go through Samaria. Wait a minute. He did not have to. They normally don't. But he lets the disciples know, I need to. Not I don't want to. Not I feel like it. Tomorrow morning my alarm's going to ring. No, not tomorrow morning. Tuesday morning my alarm's going to ring. And I need to get up and go to work. I don't want to. I really don't have to. I can call in sick. But I need to get up and go to work. There are people there who are depending on me, and there are people there that I'm depending on. Jesus said, I need to. It was important. There was somebody there that Jesus needed. Not that needed Jesus. There was somebody in Samaria that Jesus needed. For I have needs to go to Samaria. What was it that Jesus needed? What is the only thing that we know that's recorded that we have available to us that tells us that Jesus did on his road, on his way from Judea to Galilee? The only thing that we have recorded, the only thing the book tells us, is he had his encounter with this woman. Jesus needed this woman. He had a purpose for her. He knew she would be a tool to his glory and to his honor. He needed her. Verse 5, then came he to a city of Samaria, which is called, and I'm going to mispronounce this, not knowing any better, Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So, they're on their way through. They come to the city. And Jesus said, I'm tired. There's a well here. I'm going to sit down and rest. Now later on we're going to see, and when he tells his disciples, you go on into town and you buy some groceries. You go get some food and you bring it back. But Jesus stays here at the well. Now, when's the sixth hour of the day? Usually the way they counted the sixth hour of the day is whenever dawn was zero, and they started counting from there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Usually it's about noon. So this is the middle of the day. It's noon o'clock. And he's sitting at the well. Now, the reason that the hour of the day is important is because this woman is going to come along at a time of the day that the women normally don't come along. Verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. So the disciples, he sent them all along, y'all go buy meat. Today's vernacular, we say, y'all go on to the grocery store and bring me back some meat. Go get provisions. We don't want to go through town. We will end up going around town after all. And a woman shows up. And it's only one woman. Normally at this time, the women would come first thing in the morning. And it would get the water for the rest of the day. And it would usually come in a group. It wasn't just one. There was a bunch of them. And they all sit and they would talk and visit and socialize on the trip to the well. And then when they got to the well, as they were each gathering their water, they'd all talk and visit. I looked somewhere, and I believe, if I remember right, it was a 30-mile walk from the town to the well. I looked it up on a map one time, and if my information's right, there's about a 30-minute walk. And they all take back the water for the day. Now, you got to remember the water for the day. Typically, a human uses about a gallon of water in a day's time. Now, they don't drink all of that. Between what they drink, what they cook with, what they wash with, other than their own bath or shower, if you take the bath and the shower and other plumbing that we enjoy at our day and time that they didn't have at that time, they would need about a gallon of water a day per person. They could probably gather more. But every woman would come in and they would gather enough and they would all go into town. Why does this one woman come by herself? It's just one. It's not a whole group of them. They're not socializing. They're not visiting. It seems that this woman, do not know the exact reason. Maybe her bucket wasn't big enough to carry the water her family needed and she needed to make another trip. It's possible. It could be she was a social outcast. And looking at the story later on, when she starts explaining her condition, it may well be that all the established, esteemed women of town don't want to socialize with this woman. But she is by herself. She is alone. And she comes to the well. And Jesus says, "Give me to drink." Whoa, wait a minute. Verse 9, she responds to this. "When the woman of Samaria said unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Wait a minute. What is a Jew doing asking a Samaritan for water? Most Jews should rather go without. Usually, rule of three, you go 3 days without water, you're in a world of hurt. A lot of Jews had rather walk through Samaria without getting a drink of anything than to ask a Samaritan for a drink of water. And not only that, this was a woman. Women did not have a very high place and a high esteem among the people of that town at that time. So what is a Jewish man doing asking a Samaritan woman for water? You see, this is the broken pot. She's Samaritan. That's one crack. And it leaks. She's a woman. That's another crack. And it leaks too. Now, Jesus answers her and tells her, if you knew who this was, he asked you to give a drink. You'd ask of him, and I'd give you living waters. And a woman didn't understand this. That you didn't even bring anything to draw with. You have nothing to draw with. The well's deep. How are you going to give me this living water? In verse 13 and 14, he answers her again, and says, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But the water I give you, you drink of it, you'll never thirst again. Shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Verse 15, the woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not. Now, so far, Jesus is doing the teaching. He is explaining to her the things that she needs to understand, the things she needs to get an idea of, so that she can understand the gospel that's coming. When we get to verse 15, when we get to verse 16, the attention of the narrative changes. One of the questions that I asked earlier was, when does attention change from Christ to this woman? So far, everything's on Christ. She's asking him questions, and he's responding. He's doing. He says. He sends the disciples on. He says. He asks her. He asks her these questions, and she responds confused. So far, everything's been about Jesus and what he's trying to teach and what he's trying to convey. Verse 16, it all changes. It all changes when he gives her an instruction. Jesus said unto her, "Go, call thy husband, and come hither." He now puts the burden on her, not on himself. The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou sayest truly." Wait a minute. This woman, not only is she a woman, and she's a Samaritan, she's had more than one husband. Now, either she's been divorced five times, and most societies throughout history look poorly on those who have been divorced, or she's had five husbands die. Either way, the man she's with now is not her husband. She's living with a guy. She had a live-in boyfriend. This situation, whichever case it may be, and most people tend to think, and I wouldn't be surprised, if she didn't have five divorces already, and now she's living with one, so to keep from marrying and having to divorce this one, yeah, they just live together for a while. So she's going to get water for one, herself, and this guy. Plus whatever family may be there. We don't know if she may have a sister, a mother. He may have a mother. They may have children. Some of them are hers, some of them are his, some of them are neither one of theirs. There's a house full of people. She's having to go get water by herself for a house full of people. Now stop and think about this. Have you ever thought about how much water weighs? There's an old adage. It says that a pint is a pound the world around. In England, a pint of water weighed a pound. Two pints make a quart, four quarts make a gallon. You do the arithmetic real quick, that's 8 pints. A gallon of water weighs 8 pounds. A gallon of milk weighs a little bit more, but not much. A gallon of gasoline weighs a little bit less, but not much. 8 pounds for a gallon. Well, she has to tote her 8 pounds back and his 8 pounds back and 8 pounds back for everybody else in the house. How much water could a woman carry? Stop and think about this. Five gallons of water would be 40 pounds. I don't know if you're familiar with lifting weights, but the heaviest weight that they put on the bar, remember, the bar itself when you're lifting weights, is 45 pounds. The heaviest weight that they make that I know of, the standard ones, is a 45-pound weight. You imagine going to a weight room and you pick up 45 pounds to put on a bar so somebody else can carry it. 45 pounds is about 5.5 gallons of water. How much water could a woman carry? I'm going to be honest. It's going to be a struggle for me to carry 5 pounds of water very far. Even if it's in a bucket with a lid on it, 5 gallons of water is heavy. But those folks are probably in better physical condition than we are. Because she had to carry this water not just once. She had to carry this every day. She's used to it. I bet you she could easily carry 5 gallons of water. She probably carried more. And how big a pot did she need? How big a bucket did that woman need to carry the water? You think about that. I'm sure most of you have been into stores and they've got the little, especially the hardware stores, and they got the 5 gallon buckets. 5 gallon buckets hold 5 gallons of water, and you fill it up with water, that's 40 pounds. I bet you that she carried at least that much water. I probably couldn't do it today if I had to, and especially not carry it for 30 minutes. You imagine, I thought about this. You take one of them 45-pound weights from a weight room and you strap it to your back or you set it on your head and you try to walk for 30 minutes with that thing. The weight room isn't very far from our track. Just imagine me having to get out there and carry that 45-pound weight around the track, and that's on a nice, smooth, level surface. She's probably carrying that and more back home. Jesus said, you go and call your husband and come hither. I don't have a husband. Yep, you said right. You've had 5 husbands and 1 you got. The reason she was alone is because the people of society in her town did not have very high regard for her. It wasn't she had to make a second trip. She made a trip by herself because she would have been alienated and isolated from the others had she accompanied them. She didn't want to take the looks and the snide comments and the rude remarks. So she just come to go alone. Also, the 6th hour of the day, that's about noon. That's the hottest time of the day it is. So in the heat of the day, she walks to this well to get water for her and her family. Now, concerning the time of the year. The time of the year that this happens in is probably May. Give or take a little bit. Maybe late April, early June. The reason I say that is because in chapter 2, Jesus is at Jerusalem for Passover. He now is on his way back home from having celebrated Passover. When you get to John 5, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. The feast of the Jews referred to in John 5 and 1 is called the Feast of the Harvest. It is the time of the year that that Peter and Paul stood up, it says, for when the day of Pentecost was fully come, in Acts the 2nd chapter, the day of Pentecost was the Greek word for the Hebrew holiday that Jesus went to in John 5. This was the Feast of Harvest, it was called. It was the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost happens in June. Passover happens in either late March or early April, 50 days later. So somewhere between Easter, which was the end of March, 1st of April, and 50 days later, Pentecost, is when this happened. I think John is probably the closest to the events being in chronological order. So if that is correct, if that's true, then this would have had to take place in May, maybe early June, maybe late April, but that time of the year. That's the time of the year it's starting to warm up. It's getting hotter outside. So she's having to go as it's beginning to get hot in the middle of the day because the rest of the community, the rest of the women, didn't want anything to do with her. Now, I'm going to skip over to verse 25. Because Jesus now tells her The hour cometh and now is when you will not only worship here or in Jerusalem, but we're going to worship in spirit and in truth. To this response, she says, the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. He uses I am he. That's the same thing he said when they came and said, art thou Jesus of Nazareth? He said, I am he. He invoked the same name of deity that he invoked when they came to arrest him. And it's the same name of deity that Christ told the children of Israel, told Moses, when it is that the children of Israel asked, who sent me? He said, tell them, I am sent you. That's the same vocabulary that he used. She says, when Manasseh comes, when Messiah comes, when Christ comes, he'll tell us everything. And he said, not only am I Christ, am I Messiah. He said, I am. Now, in verse 27, we get interrupted by the disciples. The disciples came and they marvel that he's talking to a woman, talking to a Samaritan woman. They don't know yet that she's been divorced 5 times. That's another crack in her pot. Poor woman doesn't stand a chance. Verse 28, instead of her sitting there and dealing with their accusations, what seekest thou? Why talkest to her? Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? I had a question for you earlier. What was Andrew's first response to Christ? If you go back and you look at the other accounts of the gospel and it says to Jesus, Jesus spoke to Andrew. Jesus, listen to what Jesus did. Jesus told Andrew that before you came here, you were under the fig tree. And that blew Andrew's mind. It blew Andrew's mind because he said, wow, he knew everything that I've ever done. What was the first thing that Andrew did? Andrew went and found Peter and told Peter. He went and he told somebody. How is that different than what Jesus did with this woman? You're right. You have no husband. You've had 5 husbands. The man you're living with right now isn't your husband. He just told her everything she ever did. What did she do in response? She went and she found her Peter. We don't have him named here, but she went to town and she told the people in town, you got to come see this man. You come look what I found. She went and told the story of Christ. And she did it the same way Andrew did. What was it that Peter, James, and John did when Peter appeared to them, when Christ appeared to them and said, you've been fishing all night, okay? Cast your net on the other side. And they drew in more fish than their boat can hold. What did the scripture say they did? The scripture says they left their nets and followed him. Verse 28 again. The woman then left her water pot. You know, it had to be a pretty big thing. It was hard to miss it. It was a pretty obvious. I don't know how fast she went back to town. But you can move faster if you're not carrying a bucket with 5 gallons of water in it than you can when you have it. She not only did not get the water, she left the bucket there. Just like Peter, James, and John left their nets. Just like Matthew left his booth where he was collecting taxes. She left what she had. She left what she was doing for the chore at hand. And she went to the city and she told the men. She didn't go tell the women. She told the men. She was not ashamed to let everybody know this message. Her response was the same response Andrew had. Go tell somebody. The same response Peter, James, and John had. Leave your current chore behind and go do the bidding of this man. This is Messiah. This is the Christ. So she went, and I dare say, she went and she told the story that she knew. She told the story of Christ. How that this guy knew that she'd been married 5 times, and I tell you. How that he talks about living water. He comes a time when there's going to be a time and a place when we will worship in spirit and in truth. She went and told that story. Now, in verse 30, then they went out of the city and came to him. Now, the passage that I read was what Jesus told the disciples while she was gone. So while she was gone, and they could talk about her behind her back, instead of letting them talk about her behind her back, said, why is it you're talking to her? Like they said earlier. Verse 32, but he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples to one another, hath any man brought him off to eat? They'd already gone to town to go get meat, and they brought it back, and they wondered, I wonder if he's hungry. He say that because he's hungry? No. Then he clarifies it. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Why did Jesus need to go to Samaria? He needed to go to Samaria because he had meat of the Father and he had to do his Father's work. And this woman at the well was part of that work. She was an indispensable cog in the cause of Christ. What time of the year was it? I say it was around May. Here's another reason why I say it was around May. In verse 35, say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? When does harvest happen? September or August? Excuse me, September or October. So if he is in this time, in this town, at May or June, 4 months is September or October. He said, well, in 4 months, there's going to be a harvest. And then he tells them the harvest is right in front of you. But in the focus, he said, and ye that reapeth receive the wages and gather fruit into eternal life. And both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I send you to reap, that thereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. He is telling them there's going to come a day and a time when you're going to reap this harvest. But you didn't plant it. The disciples who he's talking to, they didn't plant the seed. They didn't water it. They didn't till it. They didn't hoe it. But they'll be there to reap it. In Acts, the first chapter, it says the gospel went out from Judea to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. The disciples took the gospel to Judea, and he took the gospel to Samaria. But when they took the gospel to those places, the seeds had already been planted. Who planted those seeds? It was this poor woman who was low on the totem pole of society's expectations at that time. This woman who was Samaritan, who'd been divorced, is now living with a guy. The women don't want to talk to her. She's the one who planted the seeds. She planted the crop. She's the one who did the work and the labor to establish the harvest. And the disciples, who would come along probably about a year and 15 or year 3 months, about 15 months later, after Jesus Christ death, burial, resurrection after the day of Pentecost happened, and they began to preach the gospel. And by the way, the gospel is that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again on the third day, all according to the scripture. That is the gospel from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through about 4. She sowed the seeds. They would come and make the harvest. So that one soweth and another reapeth, but both the one who soweth and the one that reapeth would rejoice together. This woman who planted the seed would rejoice when the gospel would come and these people would become followers of Jesus Christ and would be baptized according to the gospel. She planted the seeds, and she would rejoice with the disciples who would come for the harvest later on. She had so many cracks in her pot, but look at the beautiful flowers that she watered for the cause of Christ. Verse 39, we know the woman's response. What was the woman's response? She left her pot and went and told the people about Jesus. Her response was the same response that Andrew, Peter, James, John, Philip, Matthew, and the rest of them had when they realized that Christ was the Messiah. What was the response of the people in the town? In verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. I used that statement earlier, a minute ago. I forgot that. Oh, I hadn't read it yet, but there it is. That's the same statement that Andrew told Peter. I found a man who told me everything I ever did. There were people of that town who took the word of that disgraced woman in the community, and they believed on the Christ. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode 2 days. Jesus spent an extra 2 days with these people that the Jews so despised. Why did Jesus need to go to Samaria? He needed to go and talk to this woman. Talk to this lady. You know something? Even though she had all these strikes against her, even though she was a cracked pot, even though she was not well regarded in the community among the women, in all likelihood, she was a sister in Christ. She took the message. It didn't matter that she was a Samaritan. It didn't matter that she was living with a man that wasn't her husband. It didn't matter she'd been married 5 times. That woman's our sister in Christ. Have you ever been as much as Paul, or Andrew, or Peter, or James, or John were? She's our sister. She preached the gospel. She persuaded people to come to Christ. In verse 41, and many more believed because of his words, and said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, or because thou Satan, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. You know, but they wouldn't have listened to him had she not said, come here, look what I found. What did this woman do? What can a woman today do for the cause of Christ? What place do you have in the kingdom? Whatever woman that's a member of the Church of Christ, whatever good sister is able to do, they can go tell the story. Tell the story that Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again according to the third day. You be the one that plants the seed. You tell the story of Jesus. You tell them the plan of salvation. You tell them to come to Christ. You must hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of sins. And God will add you to his kingdom, add you to his church. It doesn't matter what blemishes we have in our background. It doesn't matter what our past was. It doesn't matter what society puts us down for. God can take us as part of Christ's kingdom and use us to bring forth fruit unto him. We may not be the one that harvests it, but we can be the one that plants it. We can be the one that waters it. We can be the one that nurtures it. We can be the one that removes the weeds. She went and told the story. That is what every member of the body of Christ should do. Go tell the story. Our good sister here was a disciple. She was a student of Christ. And she went and she convinced others to come to him. Now, she didn't become an apostle, but she was a disciple. And God has called us to be disciples, like our precious sister who met Jesus at a well in Samaria. Those are my thoughts for the afternoon. I didn't go very long. I appreciate your kind attention. And Brother Paul, I hope I did not take anything away from your lesson a couple of weeks ago. Matter of fact, I hope it's on tape somewhere where I can hear it. So I'll probably pick something up. I thank you for your attention. I hope there's something here that has given you pause for thought. I don't know the thoughts and minds of those here. If there's somebody who has had some misgivings, you committed some error in your life, you wish to come back repenting of it and asking for the prayers of your brethren, please come forward. If there's somebody who has decided that today is the day they wish to obey the gospel and become one of the people who was like the sweet lady, want to be the case, come forward. Let your need be made known while we stand and we sing our song.